And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to a brand new year here on Shout Out. I'm Andy Thomas.
And I'm Mitch McMorrow. Happy New Year to you all.
But before we dive into 2016, today we're going to have a bit of a look back at some of the stories that happened during 2015, I think.
From Tyson Fury to trans celebrities.
From trans visibility to equal marriage. It's all up for discussion right here today on Shout Out. Hello, Steph.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm okay. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mitch.
Happy New Year.
Can you hear us all right?
Not really.
No.
can you tell?
Well, I can just see you.
I've got that.
Twiddling on the edge.
That pained look in my face. Like, I can't hear what I'm saying and I can't hear what you're saying.
Do you want a different pair of headphones? Do you want to try those?
So, yeah. Excuse us, folks.
So, Steph, talk to me whilst you're doing that. It's like... Did you have a good one?
I did. We had the grandkids over Christmas, which was really nice. And then for New Year, we had a Polish, British, Spanish New Year, which was very nice. Yeah, they have a 12 grape thing at midnight where you have to eat 12 grapes every bong of the clock. Now, me, stupidly and very naively, was thinking that this would be like Big Ben style. No, it was much quicker. It was bong, bong, and each bong you have to shove a grape in.
Yes. Really?
And they weren't peeled even either.
So we made the mistake of buying lots of party poppers. So we're still going around the house. Funny, you know those little cardboard discs that pop out.
Yes.
The Hoover just does not pick them up, so you have to go around by hand and pick them up everywhere.
Oh.
So. But it was really good. It was really really good New Year. So and a new job now as well.
Oh, yes, so, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm having a good time actually. It's really nice people.
Good.
So. New year, new challenge, and of course, new show. Well, not new show.
New studio.
Not new show. New studio.
Yes.
But we're going to have a bit of a look back today.
Yeah. So reflection on.
Yeah, we're talking about. We've got three guests coming in: Kerry, Cheryl, and Steve. We'll introduce them later. We're talking about some interesting things. There's all the kind of I want to say fury over Tyson Fury, but that'd be a bit of a pun, wouldn't it?
No, but that's quite a good pun, really. He's a difficult character, isn't he?
And, would it be fair to say that 2015 was the year of trans visibility? Because it really kind of came into the spotlight a lot last year, didn't it?
I guess. It started picking up in 2014, didn't it? But 2015 was really, it really hit the headlines, didn't it?
But yeah, we're going to talk about that. And Kerry-Ann wants to talk about equal marriage as well. So because there's all kinds of stuff. We got it here because it was huge in the news because of everywhere else. Because Italy doesn't even recognise same-sex couples, let alone anything else.
And that's within the EU as well.
I know, yes. They're getting the knuckles wrapped for it, though.
Oh, they are, constantly. Yeah.
Still.
Yes.
So I don't know. All good fun. So. How are we going to go into the event? I mean, how are we doing for a bit? It's really quiet at the moment.
It's very, very quiet at the moment. Yes. Very quiet.
Well, we went into town on a Saturday, and it was like a ghost town on a Saturday, and it was very strange.
It wasn't like that before Christmas.
No, it wasn't. It was almost like, well, everyone spent their money. Yeah. So.
Well, our coffee shop has been devoid of life for our first week of opening this year. It's very, very quiet.
Very quiet. People are just obviously... recuperating.
Yeah, I'm wait till everyone's got paid and they'll be fine.
I'm still not liking the whole getting up and it's still dark. I'm getting home and it's still dark. I'll be glad when it's kind of, got a bit lighter and a bit warmer.
Well, there is some more light next week, I think. The temperatures are going to drop, but there's going to be more sunshine.
Oh, is it?
Mm.
Yeah, it's going to be really cold. Frosty mornings again.
And snow?
They haven't forecast snow yet. They're unsure about where this low pressure is going to go and what it's going to give us at the moment.
Well, hopefully not more floods. Poor people over Christmas that were flooded out.
In Yorkshire and Lancashire.
Yeah, poor people.
Awful.
Yeah.
Cumbria was completely washed out.
But if that turns to snow and then, of course, builds next week, then we've got the issue of more flooding again from melting snow.
So. Yeah, well, they were saying the flood defences didn't fail. They were just overwhelmed. Italy. I don't know if that's a government excuse.
Well, they had 2011, they had the floods before, didn't they?
That was down south, though, wasn't it? Wasn't that?
Well, that was in Yorkshire as well.
Oh, was it?
Cumbria was the worst, wasn't it?
So it's almost like they had a pre-plan But they didn't expect as much.
No, they said it was it once in a couple of centuries event, didn't they, the last time it happened? And then the following year, this year, it's happened again.
Yes.
Oh, well.
And it's not the gays' fault.
It's not the case, no.
Are you sure?
No,
it might be transgender people's fault,
though. We got stripped of our powers.
Maybe. It's our turn.
I'll never forget that show where we made it rain in the studio. That was hilarious.
I know, that was. And there was rainbows and everything, of course.
There's always rainbows in here.
There's always rainbows on Shout Out.
Anyway, right, it's that time. So if you are new to Shout Out, this is the section that we kind of reverse the name and call it Out Shout, because Steph, the lovely gorgeous Steph, is going to tell us it's our pick of the best, isn't it?
It is.
It's usually a couple of events a week.
Very slim pickings at the moment. And as no one's got any money, this event is free.
Free.
And those of you who've been actually following the show over the last few years, well, we've heard about Out Stories and the way the history of LGBT here in the have I disappeared?
No, you've just gone.
Oh,
sorry, did I turn you down?
Oh, okay, I'm back.
Oh, yeah, Andy's fidgeting with your volume. Yes,
I was too loud, so I turned them all down. I didn't realise it turned you down too. Sorry.
I lost
really boring for people at home.
I was lost in the studio, I felt so alone. that's so disconcerting, isn't it?
Is,
when that goes off,
silent.
I know. Yeah.
If you listen at home, I'm turning the headphones on and off.
He's fidgeting when he shouldn't be.
Yes. I know. Sorry. Go on. Carry on.
Stop
right. What we got?
It's
free.
It's free. Do you want to know more?
Yes.
It's organised by Out Stories, and they have over the past years been collecting the history of Bristol LGBT plus society from not just Bristol but the surrounding area.
Yeah.
Now, what they're offering is they want you to go along to the Bristol Record Office for a behind-the-scenes tour of the strongholds. 800 years of historic documents are stored. Now, that's quite interesting on its own. But after you've had a look around, they will give you a short research skills workshop led by staff from the Bristol Record Office, which caters for complete beginners upwards. Learn about handling documents, the variety of sources available, and how to start researching the archives and online sources that can be accessed from the BRO, which is the Bristol Record Office. Finally, we'll put our newfound skills into practice by finding and ordering some LGBT plus themed historic documents revealing their stories ready to be mapped. Mm. Now, it's happening this Saturday, 9th of January, and it's between 1:30 and 4. Now, the Bristol Record Office sits at the B Bond Warehouse, that's Smeaton Road, BS1 6XN. It is free, but you have to book through Eventbrite.
Right.
All right, so you...
There's a link on our website.
There will be.
Yeah, cool.
I'll put that on there straight after the show. So, book through Eventbrite, and it is this Saturday. There is a few accessibility problems with wheelchairs. It's not fully
accessible
because it's a protected
old
building.
Yes.
They're not allowed to change it.
Yeah.
So that sounds really interesting.
I mean,
it is. They do a lot of work
in their collection.
Yeah. Well, I gave them a lot of the Touchstone magazines as well, so they've got a raft of those that cover 10 years.
The champagne bottle from our first ever show, we all signed and Out Stories.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the original first ever broadcast, and me and Jane and the people that were here at the time, I don't know if you were there or not, I can't remember, but that's all signed and it's all in with Out Stories. So, it was really cool when they did the exhibition at the M Shed. The bottle was slapping in the centre.
Yeah. I expect we'll be having them on some point this year.
I would imagine so, because it's LGBT History Month in February, isn't it?
Yeah,
so that would be a good opportunity for them to come along.
Yeah, that sounds a really interesting event.
Stories,
and saves you getting bored for January and spending money. So, there you go.
Cool. Thank you very much, Steph.
Hey, this is Rick Koff from Where the Bears Are, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
That's Shawn Mendes. And that's called Stitches.
I quite like that one, Andy.
Not heard him before. So, but I was just looking through like all the stuff that's in the charts at the moment. So,
I bet you could Zumba to that, couldn't you?
Are you still doing your Zumba?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Sorry, is that too high? Do you want to pull it down, or is it?
Yeah, I'm trying to share with Terry. Hello.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. Oh, hello, Terry. How are you, mate?
Happy New Year.
And to you. So, have we got quite a crew in actually? Hello, Mary.
Hello.
So now we ought to introduce our guests. You will know the names because they're all, well, I'd like to say regulars. You sort of are, aren't you? I know Cheryl, you are. Yeah. You're on here all the time.
Yeah, I'm like a bad penny.
So, but we have in the studio with us, let me get our introductions right. We've got Kerri-Anne Mendoza, who's the editor-in-chief of The Canary, which is an independent media outlet headquartered here in Bristol. Correct me if I'm wrong. Hello to you. We've got Cheryl Morgan, who you'll know the voice of, does lots and lots of shout out as it is, but officially you're co-chair of Out Stories, and I'm guessing you must be really busy because of course February is LGBT History Month, isn't
it? Yes, working myself very, very hard at the moment because there's an awful lot of preparation to be done.
And I think very kindly here, because I think you're as full as cold as I was this time yesterday, but you remember we had him on the show to talk about life as an MP before, his former MP, Stephen Williams. A very warm welcome to you.
Good evening.
Thank you very much for joining. Happy New Year to you all.
Happy New Year,
everyone.
Now, of course, we are now in 2016, but of course, 2015 was quite an eventful year. And I think if we'd have asked for all the things that happened last year, I'm not sure that we would have enough time in the show. But we did ask you to pick some of your more hot topics that you want to talk about. I'm going to kick straight off, actually, with you, Stephen, if you don't mind. Firstly, how is life after being an MP?
Well, ironically, what I've been saying to people when they ask me that is that losing, well, rather it hadn't happened, obviously, is good for your health, because I've lost a lot of weight. I go swimming 3 times a week in Hawfield Sports Centre. I feel physically a lot better, but I've started 2016 off with the most dreadful cold.
So
Not looking my best at the moment. It's a good job it's radio.
So, but now the story you picked that you want to talk about is that of Tyson Fury and all this stuff. Do you want to give us a bit of background? And I'm sure most people have heard of Tyson Fury, but if they haven't, who on earth is he?
It wasn't so much of a reason I picked him was he's sort of emblematic of how gay people are treated by the broadcasters and by the print media, and whether there's a sort of lesser test applied to us as there would be to other minority groups, or disabled people, or non-white people. I mean, Tyson Fury's views were pretty abhorrent, both towards gay people.
He's a boxer, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a boxer. He has an Irish gypsy background. But you know, I think
do we know exactly what it was he said?
I did study it quite carefully before I criticised him in public and listened to him being interviewed by Jeremy Vine on Radio 2 in some depth. He basically said the conditions for the end of the world would be met, so an apocalyptic sort of scenario.
That's right.
If homosexuality were legalised, which of course it has been, if abortion were legal, and if paedophilia was taking place. So he was sort of conflating those issues, which really shouldn't be conflate, particularly homosexuality and paedophilia, which
I don't understand why they always
often
put them together.
And it was infuriating. So when there's the conflation of those, he was basically saying that, you know, homosexuality is so wrong that the end of the world would be nice. But leaving aside those views, what was, I think, interesting was the reaction to him then being included. So this is a news story right from the end of the year,
yes,
in the BBC Sports Personality of the Year. And there's no doubt in his boxing prowess, you know, I wouldn't want to be on the wrong end of his fist. There's no doubt in his sporting achievement and being heavyweight boxing champion of the world.
Mm.
But it's an award for sports personality. And you expect from sports people, whether they are Premier League footballers, whether they're javelin throwers, athletes, tennis players, whatever, to be role models for people who want to take part in their particular activity. And you can't have a role model, I think, if someone has pretty abhorrent views such as those. But it was the reaction.
Very, very simple question then. If he'd have said something racist, do you think they would have pulled him out?
Exactly. I think, and I've thought this for some time, that there is more tolerance of intolerance towards gay people. It's almost shrugged off by a lot of regulators and broadcasters.
Well, if I remember correctly, the BBC actually turned around and said he'd been voted by a panel and they weren't going to get involved, and that was the decision that had been made.
And then when some of their own staff, one of their radio presenters, equivalent of you, Andy, somewhere in the Midlands, I think it was, Northern Ireland was, complained about it, on his private Facebook page, he was suspended by the BBC. So the BBC sort of dug themselves more and more into a hole over the issue. So the reason I brought this up is, do people feel that there is a sort of lesser test applied towards lesbian, gay, bisexual people and to transgender people than they would be to other minorities? And it illustrates, I think, one of the points I've made over many years. I was thinking about my first interview on gay rights in Bristol was back in 1997, I think. The law has changed a lot in that period, and attitudes have changed a lot. But I think there's still some way to go before mainstream broadcasters, such as the BBC, put lesbian, gay, and transgender people as normal, equal members of society in all of their mainstream programming, so it ceases to become an issue. You know, I never wanted to be described as a gay politician. I was just a politician.
It's still quite an event when something like EastEnders has a gay character in it.
And then they muck it up, though, don't they?
Time it would,
I don't know. I think there's been some...
Well, have I lost you? Hang on.
Sorry.
There we go.
I think there's been some degree of progress in terms of, you know, the presence of LGB characters in fictional television, and the presence of open LGB sort of presenters and hosts in television and in the public sphere. I think actually the big problem at the moment is with the T. I feel like almost we're at the state with the T element, you know, the trans community appearing in programmes and very visible in public life now, as we were with LGB 10, 15, 20 years ago. Yeah. It's very clumsy.
The character
exists to be a trans person. They're not just a person who happens to be trans.
Well, we'll come just on to the subject of trans stuff, because that's obviously one of the topics that we're going to cover in a bit. But...
Because could we also go back to the idea around Tyson Fury being Sports Personality of the Year, and how do you think that what sort of message is that sending to people who are LGBT in sports?
Well, mostly, of course, the public didn't vote him to be the actual sports player. He still did quite well. Mm. He came third,
and didn't apologise afterwards. I know he's kind of very.
Maybe
kind of,
the management that managed him said he would be professionally wise to make some sort of professional apology. Mm. But the reason I highlighted that was because I think broadcasters still have some way to go in dealing with this issue, both in terms of their own staff. Mm. If a black presenter had criticised the BBC for including someone in a competition who had said something racist, they wouldn't have dared suspend him or criticise him in any way, I think. But because two reporters, there was one in Belfast and there was one in Hereford, I think was the other, said issues on air about people having prejudicial views about gay people, the BBC have suspended them both.
Right.
And they've done quite a lot of other things that have annoyed me recently, the BBC as well. Just as they start to get a mainstream police drama on Wednesday night, Cuffs, whatever you think of the attributes of the programme, they stop it after eight programmes. It was the first mainstream, prior to the 9 o'clock threshold, showing gay men and lesbians, just as ordinary people kissing, enjoying each other's companies. The police series set in Brighton, they've already scrapped it.
Is that more a ratings thing, though? There's a reason they cancelled
it. Yeah, but there's a lot of garbage on television.
Well,
featuring straight people doing lots of things. So this was one of the very few examples I can think of. I have watched rather more television recently with my free time.
I know, correct me if I'm wrong, there was a big petition to try and get the BBC to... remove Tyson Fury from the actual competition, wasn't there?
Well, over 100,000 signatures, I think. Tyson Fury, as you say, appeared to back down on some of his comments, although the essence of them he stuck to right through the contest and the competition. So yeah, I think it's a really interesting point about broadcasters as well. It reminds me very much of the debate that was running about 10 years ago about certain records by certain artists which were being broadcast by sort of urban music stations like BBC One Extra, which advocated misogyny and homophobia, but bands that are racist would never ever get airplay. And I think sometimes, as Stephen says, there's sort of dual standards when it comes to the LGBT
community.
Yeah, that's been on this week, hasn't it? Yeah,
Have either of you two seen it at all? The Reggio, it's a fascinating view into our own country. You may remember he actually went to Russia and did the one in Russia. Yeah. He then repeated the same exercise here, thinking he wouldn't find anything, and was staggered. Just how much he did find it. If you haven't seen it, I believe it's still on the BBC iPlayer. Well, worth having a look. It was very interesting as well, because it even echoed across here to Bristol, because if, and I'm speaking from personal experience here, but if you go out on the gay scene here in Bristol, you are most likely going to see people who are not black or ethnic minority or anything. It's almost all white people.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's because we're horrible and nasty or anything, but there doesn't seem to be that integration there yet.
Well, I do think actually, from speaking with friends as well who are from the BME communities, they do find there is some kind of racism that they experience on the gay community on the scene as well, and that is unfortunate, and we are trying to make it obviously more inclusive by having shows like Shout Out as well that does include all those issues. But well, I do think it is one of these problems that is endemic of the gay community.
Talking of visibility, though, of course, one of the things that I think is very nice, and Steph, we were talking about it earlier, is I don't know if you say 2014 or 2015, but certainly trans visibility has been a big ongoing subject, especially throughout 2015. It suddenly seemed to explode into the media. Would you agree?
We are certainly flavour of the month at the moment, although whether that's a good thing or a bad thing remains to be seen, because this partially goes back to what Stephen was saying about the way, bless you Stephen, about the way that the media handles things, is that now that trans is a big issue and the media wants to cover it, they don't want to do anything informative or educational. What they want is controversy, and what they want is celebrities. So they will pick celebrities who will say outrageous things, and then they'll find other celebrities to come and say other things. And it gets to the stage where people are thinking that if you like Caitlyn Jenner, then you're pro-trans, and if you like Jermaine Greer, then you're anti-trans, and that's all there is to the debate, which is really quite damaging.
Well, she wasn't particularly nice about it, to be fair, was she? I mean, her some of the statements that Jermaine Greer came out with were quite horrible.
Yeah, exactly, yes, that's the whole point, is that the media keep bringing these things out.
But is it still a good thing, though? Because at least they are actually bringing these things out and putting both sides up.
Well, no, because they're actually disguising the whole issue, that they're reducing the issue simply to somebody has said something horrible, do you agree with that, or do you think it's a bad thing that they said something horrible? And they don't actually go into the issue at all. So people are not learning anything about trans people other than the fact that there's Caitlyn Jenner out there. And the focus on celebrities is quite damaging in another way as well, because the people that the media choose to focus on are people who have already are already famous when they chose to come out as trans. They're already relatively wealthy. Caitlyn Jenner spent a fortune on private medicine and private stylists and her friends in the fashion business giving her clothes and all that sort of thing. And the same happens to a minor extent to other trans celebrities. And ordinary trans people on the street look at these people and think, I can't do that. And this is being held up as to what I should do. And then Caitlyn comes out with some clueless comment about how ordinary trans people aren't trying hard enough. It's really upsetting for people who might be unemployed, who might be homeless, who might be waiting 3 years for their first appointment with an NHS gender clinic, to be told that they're not trying hard enough to be trans because they don't look like Caitlyn Jenner.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, she also was quite outspoken about against gay marriage as well. So well, some of her politics...
This is part of the problem, that if you're a celebrity, then you're terrified of mixing with anything like the LGBT community because your paparazzi are following you everywhere and it's going to be a real problem. So the celebrities who come out haven't been part of the community, haven't been part of the debate. They've not learned anything about trans issues. And then suddenly they're put up there on a pedestal and made to be spokespeople when they don't know anything to say. And inevitably, they come out with clueless things.
So, in your opinion, have there been any celebrities that you think have been good role models for the trans community?
I think Laverne Cox is absolutely wonderful because Laverne, of course, worked her way up. Mm. You know, she was a kid in New Orleans. She's lived on the street almost in New York. She got herself a job as an actress and has worked her way up and is then using her her profile as an actress to do good. Janet Mock as well, you know, and she says in her biography that autobiography that she had to resort to sex work in Hawaii in order to get the money for her surgery. But now she's a famous celebrity and she's using that again to her to the benefit of the entire community. We haven't got very much like that in the UK. Paris Lees has been very good. And to a certain extent people like Jack Monro and Laurie Penny, although they haven't actually been talking about this stuff for long. Again, they're not just suddenly, you know, a famous person who comes out as trans, and they have some connection with the community. They know what they're talking about.
So what about in things like the soaps and the like then? What's your take on? Because there was, I think, one throughout Coronation Street for a while.
Yeah,
and I believe EastEnders is about to get one.
There's a trans lad in EastEnders. I think he had his first episode last night or something. So that's good from the point of view that it's normalising, if you like, that the idea of trans people in society, that your ordinary EastEnders watcher is now familiar with a trans person. I mean, there was that ridiculous poll they had a couple of weeks ago where more Americans said that they had seen a ghost than had seen a trans person. Well, British people who watch EastEnders now have seen a trans person. Not just somebody playing a trans person, but somebody who is actually a trans person.
But then you also...
there was one in Doctor Who as well. Yeah. Who was the one in Doctor
Bethany
Who?
Bethany Black.
Yes. Not that recognised her mind.
This is important. Beth is the first trans actress ever to play out trans actress to play a cis character on British television. In fact, possibly television anywhere in the world, but India, of course, is a different issue. So,
but then you've also got quite positive soap dramas as well, like Boy Meets Girl. That's like a comedy program where it was just an ordinary relationship. It just so happened that she was a trans woman, and there was no big deal made of it at all. And you know, the her heterosexual partner was absolutely accepting and didn't have any, you know, transphobic attitudes as far as we could see. It was just all the people around him as well that would comment, and I thought that was quite a positive representation.
Interesting. Well, stay with it. We're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, the one I'd like to talk to you about, if you don't mind, is Transparent. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Girl of Mine, and that's by 99 Souls. A bit generic, I think, personally.
Yeah, a bit same. not one of my tracks you nicked, is it?
No.
Good.
No, actually, I didn't look for any of your tracks this week.
I got loads of new stuff in there as well.
I was in holiday mode. I sat down and went, I haven't done a Shout Out for 3 weeks now. What do I have to do again? It was very much like that last night. I was like, I better read some notes. I'm sure Mary's put some notes up there somewhere. I'll have a read.
That's why this sounds so smooth and professional.
It always sounds smooth and professional, yeah. So we're really good. Anyway, we're kind of having a recap on last year, and we're in the middle of talking about kind of trans stuff and you know, the different awareness that was raised last year. Have you seen Transparent?
I saw the first couple, but most recently, was it last night, Holby City, or the night before? They threw a transgender person straight into it, didn't they? Mixed race, pregnant. Yeah.
What do you mean by through?
Well, it was like like Stephen was saying, it was more of a tick box, I thought. He was
Asian origin. She was Asian origin, pregnant, all sorts of issues going on.
I think so. She was a she at the time, but it was coming out at the time.
Transitioned to a man,
Yeah. Oh, okay. I have to admit, I'm not a whole B City
no,
fan.
No, I wasn't. I was just flicking channels.
I hate hospitals as
and
it is.
It's that one.
You wuss.
No, I'm sorry. I just, I know it's made here and you should kind of support Bristol.
No, it's not made anymore.
No, it's not.
It's foreign. It's Cardiff.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, they moved everything to Wales, didn't they?
They did.
So anyway, and the other one, of course, that we wanted to talk about is, of course, sex education and the like. Was it? Is that what you said?
No, I said I wanted to talk about Sense8. It's a science fiction
series. Oh, Sense8. Okay, I thought you said
on Netflix.
Yeah, I saw that. That is superb. That is superb.
I love that
program. It's absolutely brilliant. I mean,
the trouble
with a lot of these programs is that they're made by cis people. People who are not trans, and they have obviously their own view of things, but they don't necessarily have a terribly good understanding of trans issues. The good thing about Transparent, well, the two good things about Transparent, the first one is that the producer, Jane Solway, I think, has a very strong interest in gender issues. It's a bit theoretical, but at least she's interested in it, and she's also brought a whole bunch of trans people in to help make the show, which is a really good thing. It's giving lots of people jobs in Hollywood, which has to be good for them. But Sense8 is a science fiction television series on Netflix, produced by the Wachowskis.
Yeah, Matrix.
Lana and Andy. And Lana, of course, is a trans woman. She's producing it, and she's also been involved in the script writing. There's a trans character, Naomi Marks, who is played by a trans actress, Jamie Clayton. And the way in which they have done it is really, really good, because they put in a whole lot of trans drama stuff, but it's not transition related in any way. It's just the bad things that happen to
apparently
people because
really,
they're trans.
It really does your head in trying to keep up with everything that's going on, though, from what my friends are telling me. I haven't seen it. I haven't got Netflix, so.
Mm. Well, a lot of the problem is that there is so much good stuff. I mean, I haven't seen like Transparent or Boy Meets Girl or anything like that because there are so many good science fiction shows on. I don't have time to watch.
If you are listening and you would have heard us talk about Transparent before, but it's an Amazon only. It's an Amazon Prime original. So you do need an Amazon account to watch it. Mm. It's a 30-day free trial, a bit like there is with Netflix, but just make sure you cancel it.
I might have to sign up to it so that I can watch Man in the High Castle, and then I can
very
watch
good.
Transparent
so
as well.
Nothing to do with being trans, I hasten to add. It's all about if Hitler won the war.
Yes, I know that. Yeah. It's based on a very famous science fiction novel.
Yeah, but it's nothing like the novel. No, it's like the novel turned upside down. It's very good. Sorry, I've been watching
we'll
it.
See.
As well. Anyway, we're digressing.
So. We are, yes.
So right. Anyway, so moving on. Of course, the next one comes across to you, Carrie Anne, and that's the subject of equal marriage. Now, I was quite surprised you picked this because, of course, we got equal marriage over here and the like, but it's not the UK so much that you want to talk about, is it?
No. I think equal marriage generally has been quite an interesting debate. I know even within the gay community there was a debate about, you know, do we want equal marriage? You know, do we want to join this institution? Should we remain separate and create our own traditions? I'm in a civil partnership myself, so I've always been pro-marriage. We had a great first wedding, so our plan is to have a second wedding at some point in the future and have that be a marriage. We refer to ourselves as being married.
I have got some friends just using it as an excuse just to have another party.
Completely.
It's one of the pro things of being gay, I suppose.
And for me, kind of the whole debate about equal marriage was almost separate from that, because I think even if you want to create your own traditions, I don't think gay people should be excluded from existing institutions and traditions through virtue of the fact that they're gay. So it was always a no-brainer for me. What I found so interesting about having in the same year the Supreme Court decision in the United States and the referendum in the Republic of Ireland was I felt that raised a really interesting debate around how do you progress equal rights legislation. You know, do you have these two very, very different circumstances, but two very different challenges. Mm. You know, in the States, it would have been, you could see there would have been quite a problem passing a referendum-style vote on equal marriage in the States, given the partisan nature of the issue.
You couldn't have one in the States. Their political system just wouldn't allow it.
Mm. It'd be very, very difficult anyway.
Because all of the states are quasi-independent.
But they have propositions in the states which have been used, in fact, to suppress gay marriage. And there's a court case in Alabama at the moment about that.
Yes, you could do it in an individual state, but not federally. The only way you could do it federally is through the president or Supreme Court or the Senate decided to do it.
And it's still not 100%. I mean, what's the name of the lady that refused point blank to allow marriages where she is?
In the United States, Kim Davis.
That's it, Kim Davis, yeah. And I believe that's still ongoing even now.
Yeah, it's just happened in Alabama as well. Yeah. So there are several states at the moment. So I actually write principally in the United States at the moment. I work for a large site there. And it almost feels like every week there's another state governor of a red state threatening to uphold the true constitution of the United States. And you're like, where in that constitution does it mention that gay people can't get married? They can't find the paragraph.
Mm. But wasn't it nice that when you go completely the other way and you look at Ireland, they had a totally open vote on it and voted it in?
They did. That is also complex because on the one hand, brilliant. It was an overwhelming yes. There was a clear public mandate then to proceed with legislation. It was like, you know, guys, you've been voted down, the no voters. But it did raise the question to me, should we be opening up the rights of certain groups in society to be voted upon by a majority of the rest of the society? Something about that seems quite wrong to me. We never had a vote. You know, we never had a vote, you know, about...
straight marriage.
You know, straight marriage. We never had a vote about, you know, I happen to be a black woman. You know, we never had a vote on any of the equal rights legislation that has passed, you know, around my rights to equal pay, my rights to not be treated as property. You know,
I think in the Irish...
It's an interesting one, isn't it?
In the Irish case, I think the reason they gave, the government of the Republic gave for doing it is because in the previous constitution, marriage had been defined as between a man and a woman, and in order to change the constitution of the Irish Republic, you need to go to a referendum. So they'd need to do it as well if it was something to do with any other aspect of Irish governance. And I think that's the reason they gave
for doing it.
But at the same time, you know, would equal marriage have passed in the United Kingdom if there'd been a totally free vote, you know, in the UK? I'd like to think, you know, with Stephen, that it would.
But then it does still beg the question, is it still equal marriage here?
No.
I had a funny feeling
that wasn't what I was wanted to come in. What I wanted to say was the thing that really interested me about Ireland is that on the back of that really overwhelming vote in favour of same-sex marriage, the government completely flip-flopped on the trans rights. They'd been stonewalling it utterly. No. And then the referendum happened, and suddenly they've got one of the most progressive trans rights legislations in the world.
So better than here, then?
Yeah, much better than here. They were completely terrified by the
green light to progressive legislation.
Do you know how it's going here? Are we making any progress? I mean, very briefly for the listeners, what is missing on the trans side here?
There are a lot of things missing on the trans side. There's a real problem about legal recognition in that there are many things that people can do privately, including changing your passport, changing your driving license, changing your bank accounts, all that sort of stuff. But that doesn't change your legal gender. The only thing that can change your legal gender is getting a gender recognition certificate and then changing your birth certificate. And that's what leads to things like Tara Hudson.
I don't have a gender recognition certificate.
Well, no, exactly.
So why do you
don't have a panel
of...
your birth certificate.
You do, actually.
Is it right?
Yes, you do. Yeah.
You do, you have a birth certificate.
Yeah.
Right? But there's no panel of magistrates and you know, JPs and whatever sitting in judgment on whether you're being a man properly. But I had to apply to those people to...
There are a few listeners who say I'm not, you know.
Well, exactly, no. But I had to apply to those people and pay them money to get them to say that I was behaving as a woman properly before they would allow me to be legally female. And I think that's just dreadful.
Odd, isn't it?
Right, so there's that problem. There's also no legal recognition for people outside of the gender binary. So you have to be either male or female. Mm. Even if you are born recognisably intersex and want to continue to be that, not be forced to have surgery to make you conform to one of the gender binaries.
Mm.
So that's a real problem. I mean, if India and Pakistan can allow people to have a third gender on their passport, why can't we?
Well, who knows? Hopefully,
I think that will probably happen.
Yeah.
And it was one of the issues I was involved with when I was an MP about there's a debate whether you should have an X as an option in the passport as opposed to one gender or another, or whether you actually take the whole sort of gender issue, including Mr. and Mrs. and Ms. and Miss. You know, it's fine for men, we're all Mr., but why on earth should women have to choose in between all the other options? And personally, I'd prefer that, just take all of it out completely and just have your name as your identification. Because biometrics now basically says what you are anyways. You don't need to have all the other attributes.
But
there are a lot of other issues about marriage law that need to be solved. We tried to do some of these when the Equal Marriage Bill was going through Parliament, including a lot of the trans issues. I met, because I was leading for the Lib Dems on the legislation at the time, met with lots of organisations. We tried to get these issues resolved. We tried to get the anomaly that gay people, ironically, have more rights now under marriage or civil partnership than straight people, so to allow straight people to have a civil partnership.
Can't we? Yeah.
We wanted to get humanist marriage recognised as well, as opposed to just religious or secular. But number 10 didn't want any of that at all. Cameron, to be fair to him, he was committed to equal marriage for gay people, but he didn't want anything else clouding the issue. So that's why a lot of those issues, and it was a golden opportunity to do it, were parked.
But yeah,
because number 10 were determined, the Prime Minister was determined at the time not to make it too difficult for Tory MPs who were probably struggling enough as it was being told to vote for gay marriage, as opposed to all the other stuff that would make them have difficult breakfast conversations over the Daily Telegraph or something.
Yes, for their discounted drinks, yes.
I'll let that pass.
Well, I mean, that was kind of 2015. I mean, there was an awful lot of other stories, weren't there? Were there any that was your favourite that stand out from 2015 at all?
Oh, you put me on the spot.
Sorry.
After talking about those. I think in 2015 there was sort of like steady progress around the world. And of course, the big thing for me was the Supreme Court ruling in the United States. You know, that Kerry was referring to in the context of Ireland. I mean, I didn't expect to see that, really.
No, because
the United States has had to come so far.
But then I was very surprised we got it here. My personal thought, I didn't think you would make it through the House of Lords.
The House of Lords has changed a great deal. If you think in the last sort of 20 years since the election of the Tony Blair government, the amount of law reform we've had.
Yeah.
We've always have a more progressive House of Lords and a House of Commons at the moment. We've got a number of issues.
That's very true, Carrie.
It's no Tory majority, though.
Very true, yeah. I mean, there was one Lord, wasn't there, who was determined to do everything he could to stop it, and it just kept backfiring, as I recall. But it was interesting. I mean, it's like we've talked about the media as well. It was like when equal marriage came in here, didn't make the headlines or anything, but the whole kind of build-up to it was all over the papers and everything,
wasn't it? And it was in the Republic of Ireland as well. I mean, it was quite interesting to note the number of young people who were able to vote in the Irish referendum, who chose to make a postal vote or go back to the Republic, even if they lived in the UK.
Some of them flew miles to vote, didn't they?
Fly from all over Europe.
And Panty Bliss, she's a celebrity.
Oh yes,
phenomenal.
She had a huge race. I want to say impression on it. She kind of was almost like a figurehead for it.
I think she's a reluctant spokesperson for LGBT equality.
Yeah.
But it worked. She's come to the fore after criticising state media in Ireland for its coverage. But, you know, the Irish Post, I was looking at the other week, actually said that was the main achievement for them for 2015. That's the voice of the Irish community in Britain, or a paper that serves the Irish community here. Of course, there's a lot of Irish.
The anomaly of Northern Ireland. The United Kingdom.
These things
are still resisted by both sides of the sectarian
divide. And, of course, the other country that's still in hot water is Italy, of course, because it doesn't even recognise same-sex couples in any form of way or shape or form.
Absolutely, but we have had a Roman Catholic priest who came out as gay and living with his boyfriend and openly criticised the the church's influence on Italian politics. So that's quite interesting as well. That was another one that happened in 2015.
Well, as we do with Shoutout, we'll be keeping an eye on it throughout the next year. I'm sure we will have many more stories. And I have a funny feeling we're going to have Cheryl back quite soon anyway, with History Month coming up, aren't we?
Oh, yes. There'll be a lot to talk about.
But a big thank you to all three of you, to Kerry Ann, to Cheryl, and to Stephen. Thank you very much, especially to Stephen. You look like go and beat your feet up now.
I only sneeze once on air. I think that's an achievement.
So, but no, a huge thank you for coming in, and here's hoping we get some more stories this year. So, right, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out,
the Shout Out podcast.
This is a six pack band.
The six pack band.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's called Humpain Happy.
No, I really
that's
like
a bit
that.
different for Shout Out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Different music.
Well, there's a very good reason why we're playing it.
Yes. Yeah. It's a group of Hedra, isn't it, from India, which is their name for transgendered people.
Yeah.
And they live in their own communities, don't they? Yes. And they get invited to weddings to bless the weddings.
That's right.
Considered very good luck, I understand.
It is, very. Didn't we used to use
But do you recognise the songs?
Yeah, it says Pharrell Williams, doesn't it?
It's Happy.
Yes.
By Pharrell Williams.
Yes.
Quite cool, isn't it?
It's a really nice piece of music.
You could definitely do some Zumba to that.
If you want to see it, it's I think we tweeted it actually, didn't we? I'm not sure if it's on Facebook, but go onto YouTube and just type in Six Pack Band. I'm sure you'll find them, or Humpain Happy.
Humpain Happy.
Yeah, that's H-A-I-N. So, right. So, who made the New Year's resolution? Anyone?
I don't think anyone does. Did
I? I did try to say I was going to give up sugar, but then I've just had six chocolates that have been lurking around the studio. So
just to tempt you, me.
Yes.
Just to tempt you.
So yeah, I am going to continue.
Before you ask, no, I didn't make any either. I didn't even think about it, to be quite honest. I was a bit drunk when it turned midnight.
Oh yes. Oh, did you give up drinking?
Did you do your dancing around the fire thing?
Always, did you all, Andy. All get your clothes off.
And always. Was it not a bit cold?
But I stayed in the front room.
Oh right.
Is that because it was raining? Open fire and on solstice. Yes.
I'm not sure I want to picture you dancing naked around a fire.
It was around my front room, privacy of my own home.
Do what you like. Absolutely.
No one was subject to the vision that is
apart from
me
Jane.
Naked.
Apart
from my partner Jane. Yes. And it was on her bequest anyway, yeah. So...
Mm. Is that too much information?
Oversharing, sorry.
So we've got, I don't know, our resolutions for Shout Out. We could have a team resolution, couldn't we? Pride, we're going to do Pride.
We're
going to do History Month as well. I think we need to...
Absolutely. Hopefully by the end of the year, launching a TV show.
Yeah, we're going to be on TV, folks. So
we've got a new After Dark coming for you in a few weeks.
We have indeed.
We might have another new show starting halfway through the year as well.
Yes.
So we could end up by the end of the year with three radio shows and a TV show. It's all exciting stuff.
Beginning to take over the world.
Well, if you're listening,
that was the plan.
If you're listening and you're interested in media and want to get involved with us, do give us a shout, because we're always looking for people. There's never enough of us.
You're always looking for people.
I am always looking for people.
The voice of the youth as well. Yeah. I think we need.
Anyway, that's it for us for this week, and I'll look back at 2015. You didn't have your words ready, did you?
No, I didn't have it. If you've missed the show from last year, check out our website on shoutoutradio.lgbt4thepodcast.
Next week, we're going to be diving into all sorts of stuff. We kind of kick off 2016. That's my way of saying, Mary forgot to tell me what we're doing next week. Anyway, we'll be live from 7, but for myself and the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.